Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Milan Yurkovich, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Chris Williams, and Dr. Alice Benton. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. And, of course, this is Memorial Day, a federal holiday observed annually in the United States on the last Monday of May. It used to be known Decoration Day and originated after the American Civil War to commemorate the fallen Union soldiers. Well, you know, today we certainly do want to honor every person who has ever served in our military, who has ever fought, and especially those that have died. It is just, I think people don't realize every freedom we have. Mm-hmm. A lot of people died for that freedom. It's pretty exciting that they went out there and did what they did, and tragic for so many. So we honor you if you are left behind from someone who died. You're a survivor. And that's what this day is all about, to remember those that were fallen in battle. And we ask God's blessing upon every one of those families. When I say us, I'm talking about Milan Yurkovich and Dr. Alice Benton. She's been here. She's our newest person, doing a great job. We love having you on, Alice. Thank you for being here.
Hi, Steve, and hi to all the listeners today. And thank you for your service. It's too easy to take our freedom and our comfort for advantage here, to take it for granted here. So thank you, Steve, for what you said.
Yep. Really. Excuse me. All right.
He gets all choked up about having us on with him here. So.
My dad was in the Navy, and I didn't really honor him enough for doing that.
We don't know what people went through. We just don't. And so we need to appreciate our freedoms and then stop and ponder and appreciate what others have done.
Yep. I was part of that whole draft thing where
Me too.
Whatever the bad number was, I had a good one. So whatever that means.
I was 338.
Yeah, I was way down there. Anyway, we're glad you're with us here today on New Life Live, and I want to play a clip for you real quick on when a loved one threatens suicide. Listen to this.
There is the risk of them committing suicide, and we can only imagine the guilt and regret one would carry, thinking, was it partially my fault that they took their life? If I had stayed, might they have lived? That's a real risk, and it's unavoidable in this kind of situation, because some that threaten suicide do truly follow through with the suicide. Now, part of the problem with staying, which is a complicated problem, is that if we stay, it's not a free decision to stay. It's staying under the threat, the manipulation, what some actually call the emotional abuse of this threat of suicide. And that causes many difficulties in the long run in the relationship. So we're going to look through what those difficulties and the risks are of staying in order to try to supposedly save the life of the person threatening suicide. And then I'll walk you through a couple of steps that you can take to decide what your boundaries are, to protect yourself, but also to love that person well and to try to help them and give them resources that are better than the person just staying in the relationship because of the threat.
It is so tough when you're being held hostage by somebody threatening suicide. So tough. You don't know what to do. This is a great, great video from tv.newlife.com. You go there, tv.newlife.com. You get some free time. See if you like it. But about 11,000 people are subscribing because this is one of the great values of the century. I hope you'll like it. tv.newlife.com. And a great, great program here by Alice on suicide. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. And when we come back, We're going to go right to the phone calls here on New Life Live. Really glad you're with us here today. Hope it's a great Memorial Day weekend for you.
Last year, my entire world was shattered when I realized that everything I knew was a lie.
My name is Shelley Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography. It might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
I've struggled with the temptation to take my own life, and this is the first real step in healing for me.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey.
The love and acceptance and wisdom I've received in these few short days has given me a new sense of hope for my marriage, our family, and for myself.
Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
Just get here. You are so worth it.
Call 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Yeah, we are back. Alice Benton, Dr. Alice Benton, Mylon Yurkovich, Steve Arterburn here. Really glad you're with us here on Memorial Day. And let's go to the phones. I said we would. We're going to do it right now. And here comes Betty from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Hi, Betty. Welcome to New Life. How's it going?
Pretty good. Pretty good so far.
All right. Well, what's happening?
Well, I'm married to an alcoholic, and he started AA probably a month or two ago, but there's no way of me knowing whether he's going to the to AA or if he's trying to get better or if he's trying to get help or talking to anyone. I mean, and in the meantime, I have found beer in his vehicle, and then he just says, oh, no, it wasn't there. It wasn't there, and I know it was. I mean, I'm not crazy.
Yeah, right. Okay, so what's the question for us there?
Well, how do I set boundaries? How do I get through to him? I mean, I don't, you know, I mean, since he has moved out now, and because we can't, we just aren't getting along together because, you know, I just don't trust him anymore.
Well, are you going to Al-Anon or anything like that?
No, I belong to, well, a church group that has helped me tremendously. I did go to Al-Anon probably a year or so ago, but that kind of help is not available close to where I'm at because I'm kind of in a smaller area.
Okay. Well, let me turn this over to Mylon and see what he thinks, because it really does sound like he's not living up to his commitment there. But Mylon, what do you think?
Well, Betty, I have to ask you, what is your question to us? Because you're not living together, and so what are you trying to find out from us?
Well, maybe how to set boundaries, or, you know, or...
How is he violating your boundaries? Is he violating a boundary with you at some level? I know you don't trust him and you don't believe him, but if he's out of the house, I'm not quite sure what boundary it is that needs to be set.
Well, he just moved out, so he's only been out maybe a couple weeks now.
Okay.
And before that, when he was living there, you know, I found beer in the car, and I know he's going to work and doing it before he goes to work and or whenever, because when he detoxed at my home, you know, at her home. But I don't know how to handle this. I'm not privy on alcoholism.
Okay, well, the issue is that he has to earn his way back into your home, and he has to prove to you that he's dry, he's sober. But even more than that, that he can begin to answer questions as to why he has turned to alcohol in the first place and that he has done some recovery. So I don't know that you have a lot to do, really, because he needs to prove it to you what's true. Well, that'll be up to him. How much he wants to come home will be dependent. And I think that's one of the places you have to have your biggest boundary. If you want to come home, these are the things you need to prove to me. And I'm going to take a sort of a hands-off approach, and I don't have to do a lot of work here. I don't have to do a lot of work. You do. So why don't you show me you deserve to be back home? Alice, what would you say?
Yeah.
Well, Betty, when you said you don't know if he's going to AA or not, I think you're asking such a great question here, because not trusting him too quickly and not reconciling with him too quickly is the way to both keep yourself safe and also to have the best influence over him. You seem to have reasons not to trust him, good reasons. And when it comes to things like AA attendance, the group leader will sign off on a sheet for him that he's attending, because many of those attendees have to show proof for court. Mm-hmm. And you get to ask for proof and hold that as a requirement to start for him to start regaining trust with you and for him to have access to you and your home. So I would add even more to it than that, not just proof of his attendance at the meetings, but also breathalyzer tests, the proof of a breathalyzer test, proof of his attendance in ongoing individual therapy. And I would ask you to wait to see the evidence of that change over an extended period of time before you begin to trust him. Go ahead, Benny.
Quit drinking. You know, I his meetings are on Saturday, and so, you know, I wasn't going to say, are you going or anything. I never said a word, and I had to work that day, in which I work on the road, and so I'm gone, and he calls me, and he says, would you pick me up a couple pops? And it was like a quarter, 15 minutes from the time the meeting started, and I thought, well, yeah, I can, but are you going to the meeting? And that's all he wanted me to do was say that, and so then he said, when I got home, he says, yeah, I did that on purpose. I tricked you, you know, because I wanted you to ask me if I'm going. He said, I can't have I can't have you ask me this, if I'm going or not.
Yeah. Hey, well, let me just mention something to you. It's great if he'll go. It's also great if you maintain that boundary, doesn't move back in until trust is restored. But you can also both sit down in front of a counselor together and talk some of this through and see if a counselor can help you guys come to an understanding of what needs to happen for things to kind of be back to normal. I would do that if I were you, because you don't want to be playing these kind of games where he's, you know, tricking you and all that. That's not good. All right? I'm going to send you something to give to him. It's a Life Recovery Bible. And I know if he'll use it, it'll help. And for some people, it's turned everything around. And anybody else that wants one, you can get it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com.
And Steve, could I add two more thoughts
to
Betty? Betty, it upsets me that he's trying to trick you what you're not supposed to ask and you shouldn't have been asking. You get to ask. And to keep yourself safe, you have to ask. And his answers or his evasions of answers should help determine that he's not trustworthy yet.
Yeah.
One other thought, you said Al-Anon is not in your area. I want you to consider either phone telephone support groups that we offer through New Life or online Al-Anon groups, because those are also available. You need the help and support and ongoing guidance to stay strong in this as he is pushing back against your questions.
You know, one of the things I love that Betty said was she says, I'm not very educated on this whole thing of alcoholism.
Yes.
And Al-Anon would help that, wouldn't it?
Yes.
It would. And, you know, I've done the Al-Anon meetings online, and they're really very effective. They're very good. They're really wonderful. They're not the same as face-to-face, but they're a great place to start if you're afraid to go to a meeting face-to-face. But get into those meetings. It can really be helpful. Really glad she called. And let's go right back to the phones. And how about let's talk with John from Jacksonville, Florida, WSMC. John, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you, Steve. I feel like I know you because I just finished taking the life recovery coaching courses.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I hope you liked that. I hope it was great. That's with the AACC, the American Association of Christian Counselors Life Recovery Institute, with Dave Stoop and myself. I'm so glad. Did you enjoy it? Did you learn anything?
I did. I've been in AA for 37 years, and I was really grateful to get some more biblical references to use.
Good.
Thank you.
Super. Well, how can we help you today, buddy?
Well, my wife and I adopted a little girl 22 years ago, and she is in college. Okay. But before she went off to college, she's started exhibiting a lot of OCD symptoms, you know, unable to touch doorknobs and a lot of different strange behaviors that we didn't really understand. So we figured if we sent her off to college, she'd outgrow it and everything would be all right. But she's about to, she's in her senior year of college, and she called me the other day for the first time in 3 years, and she was crying and complaining about how she was failing classes because she had to take long showers. She had to, you know, disinfect things with bleach, and she has all these rituals that she has to do, and they're running her life. And so I figured that she was finally getting to the point where she wanted help. And so I found three resources for OCD counselors near where she, her university is. And I've offered all of them to her, and she just won't go. I mean, I don't, we're baffled as to how she could, she's run, this OCD seems to be running her life, and yet she's denying. One minute she's complaining about how terrible her life is, and the next minute, oh, I don't have it, I don't need to go. And so
okay,
I don't know what to do.
So what's the question for us?
How can I motivate her how do I motivate somebody that needs treatment, acknowledges they need treatment, but they won't take the action for out of fear, I guess.
Okay. Well, Alice, you want to start us off here, and how a man can motivate a daughter to get on the medication or get the treatment that's needed.
Sure. John, oh, what heart you have for your daughter and for you and your wife to have taken her into your home and adopted her as well. It sounds like there have been some real difficulties, especially over the last few years. And then to feel a sort of a powerlessness, at least to some extent. You see her suffering, but it's limited what you can do to help her. I think you've already done a lot right. And the fact that she reached out to you, and I think you said, was it the first time in 3 years that she had called you?
Yep, she just totally rejected us for 3 solid years.
There was no contact between her, or from her to you or your wife for 3 years.
Right.
Wow. Okay. Oh, what heartache then to hear that this is how she's doing after all this time. I think that the fact of the matter is our power is terribly limited of what we can do to force a person to get help. And with your background and your knowledge of treatment, you probably know that too. But I do think there are three things we can do to influence people to get help. And one, of course, is prayer, that the power of prayer can move mountains and it can soften her heart. And it can get her to the place of wanting help. So I would recommend getting a prayer team together, not just you and your wife, but other people you trust as well that can intervene for her. Another thought is NAMI might be a resource for you. And it, correct me if I'm wrong, fellas, about that, but NAMI is a resource for family members of people suffering from mental illness. Mm-hmm. And so it may be able to equip you even better and more specifically with what your adult daughter is going through. And it's a support group similar to Al-Anon. The last thing could be, this is a stretch and there's a risk to it, but scheduling an appointment for her and letting her know it's already in the books. We sure hope you go. It's up to you if you do or not, but we care so much about you and we're so concerned with what you're telling us that we have scheduled an appointment for you with one of those three counselors in your area. What do you think about that, John?
Well, all of that is a good idea, and I had thought of NAMI, but I haven't done it yet. A problem with me scheduling an appointment for her is that she, I think one of the reasons she avoided us for 3 years is because she feels like I'm trying to control her when I'm just trying to help
her. I
see.
You know? Yes. Then I think you're right. I might take that one back then. If there's a history of a sense of control, that might push her further away from accepting treatment than not. I'm sorry to hear that aspect. That's tough.
But you're in there with her, and you just don't want to ever give up encouraging her that there are a lot of people with what she has that experience a lot of relief once they reach out and get the help they need. Mylon, a thought here?
Yes, I do, John. Does she know she's adopted, by the way?
Oh, yeah, from the beginning.
Okay. Well, I think it's important to review history with her because she was adopted, and trauma or adoption is traumatic to the infant or to the child. It is. We don't know what kind of a prenatal experience that she had, but a lot of times anxiety can be a part of their lives for a very long period of time because they've been through something that has been traumatic to be in a different place, a new place. Undoubtedly, she has had anxiety her whole life at some level. OCD is a part of the anxiety. And to be able to talk to her about that and to be able to restore your relationship with her, that you would give her time to talk with why she hasn't talked to you, to confess the type of control that you have exhibited, because maybe that's a part of the anxiety. Maybe that control at some level has contributed to her OCD. But ultimately, she has to pick her pain, the pain of staying where she's at or the pain of doing something new and creating change.
All right. Hope that's helpful. We'll be back right after this.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
All right. Alice did want to address the issue of alcoholism and growing up in an alcoholic family. Go ahead, family. Go ahead and do that, Alice.
Well, for John and for all of the listeners, this makes me think, Steve, about the principle of the beam versus the speck, that we look at what seems like obvious behaviors in other people, and it's easy to say, she needs treatment, he needs treatment. But the Bible tells us, look at ourselves first. Look at my own alcoholism. Look how I have been controlling. And as Mylon was saying, to confess that, to do my own self-evaluation and get my own continued treatment for it can actually be one of the most powerful ways of influencing another person to then admit what they're going through and get treatment for it. And that's within our power. So I just hope that empowers you, John, to continue on the path of your own recovery and use that as an influence and as a model for your daughter.
Yeah, very good. All right, I'm glad you addressed that. Okay, so why don't we, well, let me just send you a Spiritual Renewal Bible. I think you're going to like it. I'll send you Take Your Life Back. I think that can help in both situations. But I'm really glad that you called and let us take a shot at this. And I hope something we've said is helpful here. And God bless you there. And hang in there. Please hang in there. Don't give up. All right, let's go to Nate. He is calling from Lake Forest, California, listening on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Hey, Nate, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Great. What's going on? How you doing?
So I have a friend. He's more like a brother. When I was younger, I found a guy that was doing very well. He was living with his grandparents. There's a lot of abuse in the situation. So, you know, I kind of befriended him, and for a while he lived in our house, and we always kind of looked at him as the adopted brother of our family. Even though it's not legal, that's kind of how I treat him, and
yeah,
you know, he's able to confide in me and things like that. So he came to me, I want to say it was about a year ago now, saying that he was having, he was dealing and struggling with gender identity, wanting to change his gender. He's been doing a lot of the research. He just feels really uncomfortable in his skin, really unhappy with who he is. Really depressed, very, a lot of suicidal thoughts, no intentions, but, you know, they're definitely there. And he keeps coming to me and confiding in me with what to do, what's my thoughts on it. And I've always tried to be supportive and saying, you know, if this is something you truly think is going to make you happy, I can't stop you from doing it. However, this is what I believe the Bible says. So my question is, how do I help somebody like him who's having trouble with insurance, doesn't have a well-paying job, to get the help he needs?
Yeah, great, great question. And I just want to mention this. It's wonderful that he's sharing his struggle with you, that you're there for him. And part of all of the sharing has to include the regrets that a lot of people have when they do change and go to a different gender, thinking that that's going to make everything better, and it doesn't make everything better. And oftentimes there's tremendous regret, not all the time, but you sure have to, or maybe it'd be helpful if you explored that with him, that, hey, let's work out the misery that's down there before you do anything, and perhaps along the way
to that together.
Okay. Yeah. Well, just the more time you have with him not making that change, the more opportunities there are for somebody to step in there and connect with him and help him. Because, you know, I know there's a whole spectrum of dilemmas here when it comes to transgender, and for some, they were literally just declared the wrong gender at birth. The doctor couldn't tell, and he went one way with it, and it was a mistake. But then there are a lot of other different variations on the other end. Milan, why don't we start with you? What are you thinking here?
Well, Nate, I think you have to explore in your own mind and also explore in your friend's mind the trauma's impact upon us. There's a great book by Bessel van der Kolk called The Body Keeps Score, which talks about the impact of sustained or continuous trauma in our lives. And really, I love what Steve said a second ago when he said to work out the angst and the what's going on the inside. Sometimes gender confusion, identity, et cetera, can also be a distraction, because I think that's the real issue. But it's not the real issue. It's something to distract and cover the issue, or to keep me focused on something else other than what Steve said earlier. The real thing is that internal torment that he is feeling on the inside and doesn't have any way to express it, any way to deal and wrestle with it. And so I would think that I would really want to convince him that he really needs to, before he does a thing with his body or his identity or the way he dresses, that he really explore his trauma and address that with a good trauma expert.
So good. All right. Let me send you How We Love, Milan's book with his wife Kay. I think you're going to like that. It's going to help you understand how people end up the way they do, some of the proclivities they have based on an insecure attachment or a chaotic home environment. It's really a great, great book. All right. Happy Memorial Day to all of you there. And when I come back, I want to read an Everyman's Battle testimony to you here on Memorial Day. And I hope it'll motivate some of you to get the help that you need from Every Man's Battle. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. That's the phone number to call. 1-800-NEWLIFE.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
You know, one of the great things about TV.NewLife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, "Hey, honey, watch this with me." And they'll sit down and they'll watch that five-minute clip, and that five-minute clip may change their lives forever and, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix. So we canceled Netflix and subscribed to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem. And it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at TV.NewLife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of TV.NewLife.com.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking with Nate. And Alice wants to explore something with you there, Nate.
I do, Nate, because I am so impressed by your heart for your friend, and I think you've done a really good job of balancing out the truth and the biblical truth and then your love for him. And when you brought up, I think, concerns about insurance and whether or not he can afford to get help, I want to make a few suggestions for you and for anybody else out there that can't afford good assistance. And so a few of those thoughts are, one, we have in residence here the creator of the Comfort Circle. And if you haven't heard of it, it's a structured way of being a very empathic, active listener when you disagree with what the topic is at hand. So if you don't agree with a sex change, but you want to be a support to your friend, you've already expressed the truth as you see it. And so now there's room and space to draw him out and to listen to his fears and his concerns and his hopes about having a sex change. If we just minimize what someone is going through and say, "No, you're just wrong about that," it tends to shut down communication. But when we invite them to speak to us and we just hear them well, it deepens our connection with them and it really helps them think through what they're going through. And the Comfort Circle is even available in the freebie section on Mylan and Kay's website, How We Love. Two other things that we can access when our funds are low, but we want good therapy. One, there are free support groups. Celebrate Recovery is a fantastic system of support for a whole variety of issues, and it's Christian-based, but it's free. I've attended it myself, and it has been very helpful for me. And lastly, many Christian therapists offer sliding scale fees or scholarships, which New Life also offers for our groups. So there's a verse in the Bible about we have not because we ask not. Mm-hmm. And so calling a therapist, calling New Life to say, "I need help, but I don't have sufficient funds," you might be surprised at the answer. We want to help and we'll do our best we can to accommodate people that don't have enough to pay. So don't give up, Nate. There's a lot of hope and there's a lot of help out there.
Yep. And you can start a life recovery group. You can go to a life recovery group and you can find out about life recovery groups at liferecoverygroups.com. That's where all the information is. Really glad you called and very thankful that you're there. And, you know, so many of our people are trying to help other people. That's what I love about our audience. They really do want to help folks. And this is not an easy one. This is a tough one. So glad you're there for the friend. All right. Let's go to, why don't we talk with Lynn from Fairfax, Virginia. Had a great time there the other week, listening on WAVA. Hi there. Welcome.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. How can we help?
So, in a nutshell, and I can give you backup as you want, but I am just wondering when it is appropriate in a marriage. Is it ever appropriate in a marriage to be done when it's just there's just nothing there anymore?
Well, tell us what's going on that makes it so hopeless, or feels like it's hopeless.
Yeah, sure. So we've been married going on 25 years, and early in our marriage, I came back to the Lord. So there is an equally yoked aspect, but we've been dealing with that, you know, for probably 20 years, and so for the last 7 to 10 years, probably, we just basically live as roommates. We went through several years of really not physical abuse or anything like that, but just really fighting all the time.
Yeah.
We're not doing that necessarily anymore. We've been in and out of counseling. I'm in counseling myself. And we finally, we had a talk a couple of weeks ago, and through a book that I'm going through with my counselor, I said to my husband, I don't want a divorce. I want to be married to you, but if we're going to be married, I want to be married well, and or I want to be apart well, one or the other, because we're not married well right now. We don't communicate about really anything but our adult children now. And
so what is he just resistant? Does he have other problems that you can identify? What's the big presenting thing?
He's a functional alcoholic.
Oh, okay.
So there's that. You know, I mean, we both have our issues. I have been controlling over the years, so I know he's resentful of that. He is resentful of God. He feels like God took his wife away from him. And, I mean, he has verbalized that. But he's supportive also of me going to church and me being involved in service. And, you know, he thinks that that's great that his wife does that kind of stuff.
Okay, so the big question for us is what?
Is it ever time just to be done? I guess I've said over the years that I don't feel like I have permission from the Lord to leave.
Yeah.
And that's
okay.
What kept me.
Well,
so
what have you done for yourself and for him? What kind of help have you sought out?
For me, I mean, I'm in counseling. I've been in counseling.
Have you ever tried giving him an ultimatum of, hey, either stop the drinking and get into recovery, or, you know, I mean, a lot of people do that.
A couple of years ago, we decided that we would separate for, you know, 3 months or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the day came that he was going to go, and he couldn't go. He said he couldn't do it. But nothing changes. That's the thing. He agrees that things need to change. He agrees that he wants to have a better marriage.
Right.
And that we just need to spend more time together. Well, we don't really even enjoy spending time together, so I'm not sure.
Why is that?
Okay.
Why? I have a lot of non-Christian friends that I have a blast with.
I agree. Yeah.
Asking why? What's your part in this? You said, and I love that you could identify as controlling, but in other words, there's a element to which Lynn is involved. And at some level, he's reacting to Lynn. So what can Lynn lay down, perhaps, that would allow him to come closer and for you guys to have more fun?
Probably. I know I've put some walls up because he's a bit short-tempered, you know, when we go out together in terms of surface people and things like that. When I say that, when we go to a restaurant and something's not right, he tends to overreact, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's embarrassing.
Sure.
And so I don't
You know what
go
they
out.
Call that? You know what they call that with an alcoholic? They call that emotional augmentation. And it's really a result of kind of the nerve cells that have adapted to the alcohol. They don't function normally. And whereas a normal person might experience irritation, the alcoholic, it's rage over something silly. Or someone might experience mild amusement, and yet they laugh uncontrollably, and it's just not appropriate at all. Their emotions are augmented because they have a problem. They have an addiction problem. And it seems to me that everything you do is kind of playing a game, an addiction game with him, if you're not demanding that he get help and get treatment, expecting him to be nice or wonderful or different when he's got this addiction problem that hasn't blown up yet. He's functional, but that doesn't mean he's healthy. And what you're missing in the functional part of the alcoholism is the dysfunction that never gets fixed because he's not in recovery. So I would be trying to move him toward recovery in whatever way you possibly could.
We've been back and forth with the, I'd like you to stop, you know, I want you to stop drinking.
Yeah. Well, you have to set some pretty strict parameters there to where it's not being done, but it's saying we are going to be separated until you live up to this.
And why couldn't you move out, Lynn?
Yeah.
I could.
Yeah.
I could. That's what I'm asking, I guess.
Well,
we're saying, if I do that.
Well, I think the issue here is you're setting a boundary to require something, and sometimes a boundary of separation until someone takes action can be a very good solution for you.
And, a planned separation with an agenda is different than just giving up.
Yeah. It's a restorative separation.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. We'll talk a little bit more right after this. You're listening to New Life Live. I'm really glad that you called. And, you know, if you're struggling with somebody that has an addiction, whether it's sexual addiction, chemical addiction, there's help for you, but they've got to get help if you're going to expect anything different from them. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
First time I listened to the program, I was pretty much hooked just because of the honesty and compassion and caring that was given to the callers.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
It's just amazing to me the impact the ministry has had on people's lives.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and transformation. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I can't think of a better place. There's been times that that my husband and I have talked about it when money maybe is a little tighter or whatever, and I thought, well, but it seems like I will turn on the radio and I will hear something. I'll think that's why I do it, because there's just so much out there, and the way it's handled is just awesome.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. And Alice, you wanted to make a comment about what God allows or doesn't allow there. So do that, please.
I do. To Lynn and to all the other listeners who can relate, because I didn't know this either until I became a New Life listener, even though it's right there in the Bible, that God does permit divorce in two situations. When our spouse has been unfaithful to us, or when we have been abandoned by an unbelieving spouse. But at the same time, God still hates divorce, and he wants us to do everything in our power to restore a marriage. So as you two, Mylan and Steve, were saying before, a separation can be for the good of the marriage. And God separates himself from us sometimes, allowing us to choose whether or not to restore relationship with him. Mm-hmm. And he does that as a consequence of our behavior. And so it can be the most loving thing to do, and it can have the best influence of change. So Lynn, please take that to heart and consider it. God does permit and encourage that.
Yeah, amen. All right. Very, very good point there. Well, if you're holding, please continue to hold, because we've got another program to do right after this. But I've got one more call I can do in this program, and then we'll go to you guys. And we've got just enough to handle you in the other program. So hold on if you can. Mark, Houston, Texas, KKHT. Hi, Mark. How you doing?
Hi, I'm doing great. I was calling you guys because I'm briefly released from incarceration. And I've been incarcerated 15 years for a robbery that I did when I was 23. I'm 38.
Wow.
And I went in with a real bad attitude. I went into the prison system with a real bad attitude to where I had to do my whole 15-year sentence. Well, I only have 2 weeks on parole. I got out last week. And the last 6 months of my sentence, I basically started reading the Bible and you know, I see that right there, you know, I really probably need to study my Bible, but the question I got for you guys is, I'm back into the same old neighborhood, the old guys came around, you know, and it's just a matter of time before, and I told them that, you know, I'm not living that, I want to change, and I'm not with that, but, you know, where I'm from, is I used to do the same thing. I know what's going to happen next. They're going to take me for weeks. They might start taking things because I'm in a bad neighborhood. I just want some advice on how can I keep my head straight. You know, I read my Bible. Maybe I need to study my Bible, you know, because I just started. But this is going to be real hard because I'm not going to have any supervision after 2 weeks. And so I'm basically on my own, and I don't want to go back to that lifestyle.
Any way you could get involved in some kind of halfway house or transition center not in that neighborhood?
Well, I paroled to my mother's house, and she's still in the same old neighborhood, so that's why I didn't go to a halfway house. They let me go to my mom.
You could say to your parole officer, hey, the neighborhood she's in, I need to, let's look at some other things. Can we explore some other options? And maybe there is one in another area kind of close by. Mylan and
Yeah, but I only have 2 weeks on parole, dog. I only have 2 more weeks. I did my whole sentence, except basically 3 weeks of my sentence.
Okay.
So after 2 weeks, I'm no longer the state. It's, you know, no one's going to be watching me in anything.
Right. And so
all
the more reason that you find another place, a safe place to live. Alice or Mylan, any thoughts there?
Oh, Mark, we admire and applaud you for asking the question and for seeing the red flags that you are in an environment that is so likely to influence you back into your old lifestyle, but that you see light and hope in this biblical connection that you made in the past couple of weeks. And I think the biggest point that I want to make and encourage you to consider is that we cannot do this alone. And if the people around us are influencing us to return to the old lifestyle, it is so likely that we will. And so one of the best things, yes, you know that, one of the best things you can do is to surround yourself with people that influence you towards the kind of man that you want to be and the kind of man that you are becoming. And so there are a lot of resources to do that. Even if you live in a bad neighborhood, you might consider looking for small groups, a good church to go to, a church that is structured with small groups. And I'd ask you, once your parole is over, if your parole officer will allow it, to consider a program like the Salvation Army, which offers housing, it offers support and treatment right there in the program, and it gets you working as well. It's free, but you pay with the work that you do, both on yourself internally and on your character and the physical labor that you do for them. But those programs are available, and you would be with people who know what you're struggling with and know the right path to get you on.
Teen Challenge is also, it doesn't sound like it, but it's for adults too. And it is a safe place where you can make that transition and build what you started there.
Mark, would you consider getting into a program like that? What do you think?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, because I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back because I know I don't think I could do it again. So I don't want to go back, and I want to you know, go the right way by following Jesus Christ.
Well, I tell you, I'm just going to ask anybody, I'm going to ask anybody listening if they can help you out in any way, that they'll call us. And, you know, I don't know if that's going to do anything, but boy, I'm so glad you called. And I hope that you will search out a safe place out of that neighborhood when that, and your parole is just a couple of weeks. So I'm going to send you a Life Recovery Bible. I think you'll love studying that one. And I'll send you the workbook with it that'll help you. And any type of support, any kind of anything you can do other than hanging out, boy, that's going to be helpful. Well, we're just about out of time. I want to read an Everyman's Battle testimony to you. It says this: I came into the workshop with low expectations and pretty extreme pressure from my wife and family, and I was led to face and come to terms with the deep-seated issues from years ago, which helped me to see some of my triggers and the reasons for my perpetual dangerous and reckless behavior. But now I feel hope, connection, love. I connected with the people that I had just met. And I got to tell you, I have a clear roadmap going forward. Look, if you're confused, if you don't know, call us. Let us help you. Most of the time, it's the woman that calls first. If you've got somebody in your life that needs the help, call us and let us help. Please, we really do want to help. And we can help. Restore is coming up July the 14th. It's for a woman's heart. And the results of this, the feedback from this workshop, pretty incredible. Please avail yourself to the Restore workshop if you've been involved with somebody with a sexual integrity problem. Don't forget TV.NewLife. It is a great resource for transformation and a gift of any amount. Right now, we'll send you Regret-Free Living. I think you'll love that book. I really believe it's one that has helped so many people get on with their life rather than be dragged down by the past. Also, don't forget that Mylon Kay's book, it's like a must-read in the Christian faith, How We Love. Please call us if you haven't read it. You will be astounded. And, of course, we talk about the comfort circle often here, and that's right there in that book. We've got a counselor for you. We've got intensives coming up. We can help you transform your life through God's truth and redemptive relationship. But to do that, you have to call us first. And so I'm asking you to pick up that phone and click it in there and let us know what you need. We've got great people standing by that want to help you in any way possible. So just let them do it. But you have to call first, and that's 1-800-NEWLIFE. We've been doing this since 1988, helped thousands of people. And when I think of somebody supporting this ministry, I think they will never know the impact, the ripple effect of how that support has brought a person to a point of transformation. Thank you, Mylon Yurkovich. Thank you, all of you who listen and support. Thank you, Alice Benton. Thank you to every person that prays for us. Thank you to all of our staff. We love you. We'll see you next time right here on New Life Live.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you.
but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.